morning, and thank you so much for downloading our podcast from Italy on this beautiful 30 Gennaio 2014. I am Jason.
Ciao, and I'm Ashley.
Together we run, own, operate, and live at La Tavola Marche, an agriturismo cooking school, farm, and little slice of paradise here in Piobico, Italy.
It's actually, you're listening to an incredible podcast today because right now on the charts, we are number 2 of 912 bed and breakfasts and inns in La Marche on TripAdvisor, subject to change at any moment. Their analytics are just as kooky as Facebook at times, so you never know. I mean, we have like 150 reviews, and the person ahead of us in number one has like 34 or something crazy. So you get never much, know.
Ashley is much, much more into the likes and the...
TripAdvisor is a huge deal.
Yes, TripAdvisor is a huge deal.
And it's something I joke about, but number two never felt so good. It's great. Like, I'm really proud.
Yes. Congratulations!
And I just have to say thank you to everyone who wrote such great reviews. It's really nice that people take the time to do that. I really appreciate it.
All right.
That was in all sincerity.
Is that what you call a...
humble brag.
That's a humble brag. Very good, Ashley.
Sure.
Open the show with a humble brag.
It's just coming from number two. Yeah, yeah. I try. I do my best.
Very good.
Twitter, at La Tavola Marche.
That's a joke. It's been a, we are in the dog days of winter. It is.
Yeah, but like, how do you complain? It's not cold.
No, it's not cold. I'm just saying it feels like we're to the point where you have to wait for the summer, like, or for the nice weather. I'm to the point where Christmas and New Year's is over. You know, I'm done with the kind of gray, no sun, the sun really low going down early, and I'm ready for spring.
Yeah, we still have a lot of winter left.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, hence the dog days. I gotcha.
Days. But you say dog days of summer, not dog days of winter.
So what do you say?
I don't know.
It's the cat's meow. There's the dog days. I don't know, but it is. It's just so bizarre. Like, we've been talking about the weather a lot this winter.
We have. We've actually lucked out because in other parts of Italy, it has not been like that at all. This week, we've seen up north especially floods, slides, boulders. You posted a picture the other day or yesterday?
No. One of my family members from Oklahoma did. They said, I hope this isn't y'all, kid.
A boulder the size of a third of a house?
Jesus. It was huge. And we are really lucky. Our neighbors were telling us about friends in Umbria and also up north in Torino. Somewhere up north, I can't exactly remember, but where they've been having horrible rains and then the mudslides, and not so it's not just the flooding, but literally washing away the, you know, switchback roads, gone. And I just, it makes me think about out here and how
we were talking about that with Karen and Luke.
Oh my god, how sensitive it all really is.
Well, even when we get a little bit of rain, it all pools. We have five or six little bridges because the Candeliano River goes back and forth across the road. So there's little bridges all along our dirt crappy road. And
that we live 6 kilometers deep into.
Which at any moment it's like, do they inspect these bridges? Because even when it rains a little, there's one or two bridges where they just flood.
It's so scary. Serious standing water. And standing water in huge deep holes in the bridge. So it makes no sense. Like, I'm like, where's the hole going to go all the way through? It's got to be, how deep is the cement?
You mean the asphalt? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, just figure it this way. Most of the time, it's huge tractors and huge trucks filled with wood. Our little crappy car isn't going to go. If it breaks, it's going to break on one of those cars.
Oh, my God. Do you think our little car could pull a maneuver from the movie Speed if we had to and just, like, gun it and jump? Or we'd have to go the back way. We have to take a right out our driveway and go all the way to Apecchio or Sant'Angelo and make the loop all the way around. But
you know, if one of those roads washed out, it's not like the crew would be there the next day, all patched up, 2 days later. No. You're talking 6 months.
Seriously, that's the horrific part. I mean, and then the road you take to Orbania, the pass.
Yep.
Imagine that when it rains, that normally, you know, not even a ton, but we'll get some mudslides right there.
But they'll clear that much quicker than they'll fix our roads back here. But speaking of driving cars and roads.
Wait, speaking of weather.
What?
We got a weatherman on the line right now. Let's check in, actually. Let's do a weather report on the podcasts from now on, since we have a unofficial, official amateur weatherman. Jason, would you like to...
Yeah, we're currently checking in. It's 8:28 in the morning. We're checking in at 5 degrees outside. Relative humidity, 100%. We have winds coming at 3 kilometers an hour out of the south-southwest. Pressure's holding... Pressure is dropping. We're currently at 1,005 millimeters of mercury. Is that true?
This is all legit. He's reading our weather system. If anyone has been here, they have seen it in the kitchen. And
Let me go back. Because when you say weather system, it sounds like I went to Radio Shack or Brookstone and bought some crappy thing. No. I have got a Rainwise weather station, which is certified by the U.S. Department of Weights and Measures to be accurate. And I got
nerd
it.
Nerd alert.
Oh, yeah. I'm super nerd. I also have another piece of equipment that I bought that I've never used and still sitting in our place that should be able to hook up to our computer and do live.
Wouldn't that be fancy?
Yeah, do live up to the minute weather on a weather feed on our site, but I never did that.
But tell them what you did do.
But now you can be so the weather site that I check all the time to laugh at how wrong it is. They started saying, send us your be a weather tracker in your area. So I do it like 5 times a day.
Do you want to give out the call letters of or the website where you can find your weather report?
Yeah, hold on.
www.
Well, you fill time right now.
ilmeteo.it.
But then there's that's just the main page.
You're right.
I'll put it up.
We might have to do a little digging to find the amateur weather reports on the official Italian site, but it's pretty exciting stuff happening out
here. Yeah, let me tell you something. If you tell
Jason's
the ladies,
actually getting hooked.
If you tell the ladies you're into amateur weather and reporting it, let me tell you, you're going to have to beat them back with a stick.
The only other thing that would be so hot is if you had a ham radio license.
I do have a ham radio license. Are you making fun?
Do you remember those events in Brooklyn we'd go
to? Those guys were some pretty hot guys.
I remember it being like, oh my God, there's a girl here. And then I left.
All right, yeah. So I'm into some dorky stuff. So whatever.
The weather.
Weather. And then the car. So we have a little... the saga with driving this winter has
not
been
good. Well,
we call
it our little shit box.
It is our little shit box. It's a little Hyundai i10. They don't sell this model in the States. It's one of those little toaster-looking things. And we bought it new in 2008. And now here we are in 2014, and I was just informed by the good old Dr. Gajmeister that we're supposed to get a revisione or roadworthiness test after every 2 years after the car, every 2 years for a used car, and after the first 4 years for a new car. So I've missed 2 now.
We had no idea.
No idea. Here's the thing. Here's the weird thing about Italy. I love it because they treat you like an adult. Mm-hmm. They don't.
Drink a beer in a festival, walking down the street.
It's your responsibility to know to do stuff. They're not going to nanny and babysit you and send you letters and you know it's time to get your revisione. You'll never get that. They'll just let it go. But the bad part is we're foreigners, so we didn't grow up in this culture and know. Because I know in Washington you have to get a roadworthiness
exactly.
test. But in California, all you have to get is a smog check, at least when I grew up. And
we didn't ever drive in New York.
And we never drove in New York. So it never even occurred to me that I have a brand new car. Why would I need to get a roadworthiness test?
Exactly. I mean, just total sheer ignorance on our part.
So now...
Now we have to pay.
Now we have to go. We're going today to do it. And we're going to probably have to pay a fine because we didn't get the 2 previous ones done. And
we admit to a lot of shady behavior on this podcast.
Well, it's more out of ignorance than anything else. I mean, ignorance is not an excuse, but so it's gonna be horrible.
Our Dutch neighbors agreed, though. They were like, we had no idea either.
They have to get the APK, They have to get a.
But they said it here, like they never, you know, that living here, that in Holland you get something in the mail reminding you to get it done, that it's expiring or whatnot, and that here nothing
ever. So it's gonna be interesting because I know when Ashley rolled our little car, the airbags hasn't worked since then. I know the shocks are shot. I know the here's the kind of weird part is I've done a good job of keeping up the maintenance, changing the oil, changing spark plugs, changing the air filters, blah, blah, blah. The motor runs great. The rest of the car destroyed.
Did we ever tell the story of me rolling the car?
Why don't you go right ahead?
On a summer's day.
How old was the car?
Months.
2 months, I believe. We got the car in June.
June, and it was August.
And it was August.
It was August for beginning of September. Kind of thing.
Because I remember we saw Franchino for Quindici for Ferragosto
It was September because it was right after the Festa della Madonna in Piopico.
That's right.
Beginning of September.
So 3 months. Sorry, three months old. Three months old.
Real shiny. Still smells good. And our our road that we've just were talking about is gravel, as we mentioned. And at the end of summer, a super dry summer, hot summer that it was, the gravel can be like marbles if you take them at a certain speed or kind of start sliding sideways. And our...
kind of start sliding sideways?
Well, that's what happened coming up. So a cat ran across the road in front of our neighbor's house, and I was hauling ass. I was in fourth gear and just singing along, heading into town, doing my thing, not thinking twice. Little black cat runs across the road, and I thought, oh, no. That's Mariela's cat. And I didn't want to kill the cat, so I swerved really hard to the left, and I started aiming right for a little bridge, because like Jason said before, too, the river crisscrosses along the road. And I thought, oh, that's getting too close over there, and I pull really hard the other way to compensate. And I'm probably like jamming on the brakes I'm probably doing everything I wasn't supposed to do. And all of a sudden the car just starts then all of a sudden it went into slow motion going into the green.
The steering wheel doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. All of a sudden it was just like sliding off, keep going to the right into the brush. And then it was like that slow motion. This isn't good. This isn't going to be good. I've never been in a car accident. And I just remember thinking, and this is your first car accident. And all of a sudden, the next thing I know, the car is upside down. And I'm somehow standing on the roof inside the car. And
you went down an embankment of maybe 4 meters, a meter and a half, 4 feet.
If you had asked me to tell the story, I'd probably have said it was about 200 feet down.
No.
I know.
And it's not a fall off. There's brush. There's like brambles.
So it's like the car just kind of rolled over.
Rolled off the road.
Rolled off the road. And I was wearing my seatbelt, thank God. But the car got stuck. So instead of continuing to roll, it got stuck next to a tree. And I couldn't get out because half the car was against the slope of the hill. And the other part of the car was stuck against the tree. And with electric windows... the first thing I did when I realized is I turned the car off because I thought, oh shit, I don't want the car to explode. I felt like I was in a movie. I thought, oh my God, the car's going to explode. And I thought, put the car in neutral because if anyone sees that I was in fourth gear, I could get in huge trouble. And then I thought, what would Oprah do? What would...
Seriously? That's what you thought? What would Oprah do?
Not what would Oprah do, but what have I learned on Oprah? And assess the situation.
That's pathetic. That's sad. That's a sad commentary.
No, it actually was really calming. It was really calming because I felt like just focus
you
on...
You felt like Oprah was with you.
Focus on O. What would you say? Assess the situation. And
that woman is incredible. She has brainwashed a whole generation. Okay, sorry. That's a whole other thing. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was drinking some cappuccino. Delicious, Jason. Thank you, by the way. So... I start screaming, help me. And then I realize no one speaks English. What am I doing? And so I start yelling in Italian. And I know that there's no one, the house that I was in front of where the cat was, they were out of town. And the neighbors across the way, Carolyn and Luke, our Dutch friends who we've talked about, they were out of town. And I thought, oh, shit. No one is around. Who's coming down our road? I'm so far down that I don't know if you can see me. And all of a sudden, a ray of hope. This little old man, Chelso, who is not more than about 4.5 feet or so. I don't know. Stocky little of an old stock.
Chelso. Tough.
Tough. His fingers are like sausages. He can't really see or hear. So I'm thinking, oh God, out of everyone, I get the deaf, blind old guy who we pass a million times on the road and he's never waved to us. So we also don't know. Maybe he's a mean old SOB. We don't know. And I see him get into his little oppe. You know, I'm seeing him down into the patch of a field near where I've rolled the car. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's heard me. He's coming. He drives his little oppe, his little three-wheel truck right past me. And I start crying. Oh, shit. There it goes. There goes my chance. Well, no. He goes up to assess the situation and comes down the embankment on foot to see. And he thinks someone's dead for sure in the car. And he ends up getting a little roncola, like a little...
Sickle. Knife. Big knife.
Uh-huh. And starts chopping away a tree. And he's 88 years old. He opens up the car door enough for me to just squeeze out. Thank God it was summer and I was skinny. It was in the middle of December. I had lost my shoes in the car. First of all, before I even get out, I hand him my computer. Because I think if anything happens to me... Or the car, if the car explodes or whatever, all of our details are on our laptop. This is all we have.
And I think our passports and stuff.
I had already tossed it out the car because I thought, again, if the car explodes, all Jason needs is his passport. I could be dead any moment. I get real dramatic real fast. And
I'm glad you have the half cup.
I'm a really positive person, yeah. But I just thought...
I'm dying. Take the passports. Go continue on.
Run with it. I'll be here. And so anyway, he helps me get the car door open enough and I slide out and all I get hurt with is a few scrapes from the bramble bushes and he can't understand and he says, stay here. You don't have any shoes. You know, and he goes and gets me a pair of his boots with holes in them, and it's so sweet. But the funniest part afterwards is he kept saying, where do you live, girl? Where do you live? Like, and I'm thinking, I've seen you a million times and waved to you. And he's like, where do you live? And I said, I live in Kakamoda, the name of our house. And he said, no one lives there. I said, I live there. And he goes, no one lives at that house. And I said, I do. I live there. And I kept thinking, oh, my God, he doesn't believe me. He thinks I'm crazy or he's thinking I've got a concussion. I don't know. And thankfully, Franchino, the little polenta maker, drives by and he says, no, I know her. She does live there. And he brought me home. But that's the abridged version, as long as it still was. But it was absolutely incredible. And all the village people came by and said that I was blessed by the Madonna because we had gone to a festival to celebrate her in town the day before. And it was pretty emotional for me, actually. I was really shaken up. I kept saying to Jason for weeks after, aren't you glad I'm alive?
Well, Ashley, thankfully enough, rolled the car onto the one spot where the little guy, Chelso, kept throwing hay.
It's actually absolutely incredible.
It's incredible. He kept throwing hay. So while she did roll the car over and hit and came to a stop on a tree, she basically rolled it onto a big pillow of hay. So absolutely nothing happened to the car.
Just other feet in either direction. I would have gone down into a ravine. Yeah. There's a creek down below.
There's a couple of spots banged up on the top and a couple of spots.
Oh, yeah, and the car drove away the next day. The casualty or injury, I should say, of the whole story was to the poor mechanic who came to check on the car. Because by the time Franco brought me home, Jason turned around and went back with Franco to see the accident. And half the village, it felt like, was there with tractors.
Well, there was already a tractor and they were pulling it out and blah, blah, blah. They pulled the car out. We put it back on its wheels. The mechanic checked it out. He took the spark plugs out, I guess, and put his head in under the hood. Told me to try to start it, and oil splashed up in his eye. I felt terrible.
Horrible. He got it the worst.
He did. But other than that, we started it back up and drove it home. And
it was absolutely overwhelming to have that feeling of the people of the town to come to your aid like that. And to Chelso was so upset and worked up by it. And what a miracle he felt it was and that he helped this American girl. But that he ran to town to say, get help. And he went to the Moki family to get the trucks and... Well, I don't know. It was,
I know we've told that story before, but it's
probably
a good one.
It is a good one. It still makes me get choked up.
Yep. But that car is now finished, so we got to figure out what we're doing with that one this week. Oh, great.
What else is going on?
We talked about... Oh, we were in... we were in Piobico on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the Piobico case.
Yeah, we were getting a coffee. You know, Tuesday is the small little tiny market in Piobico. You got the porchetta truck, the fish guy, Fushiani with the meat and cheese. And it's just fun to go in and stop for 15 minutes.
It's a little water cooler talk.
Mm-hmm. So Fush asked us if – I'm sorry. Domenico Fushiani asked us if we want to go and get a coffee at the bar right there. I said, sure. So we go and get a coffee, and as we're walking out, something catches my eye, and it's this notice to all bar patrons written on the official, like, letterhead of the region.
Of the Questura.
Of the Questura of Pedro Urbino.
The police.
Listing the approved and permittable games and the ones that are banned at the bar. Card games, dice games, different different games. Now, we were at Crazy Bar.
Dice.
There's three bars in Piobico. One is Crazy Bar. That is for the...
Let's break this down.
Let's break it down.
Okay, should we... Okay, go ahead.
Okay, three bars. Café del Corso, Crazy Bar, and Trotabulo.
You could say there's a fourth, but
that's more towards the way oldies. And that's
yeah.
that's about... That's far. That's about 300-400 meters away.
That's on the outskirts of town.
So... Crazy Bar is mostly for the
break it down
the old guys, like the hunters, a lot of guys who sit there and play Scopa, which is a card game, and play dominoes.
In the summer, like you'll see a whole congregation of old guys gathered around
a table.
And the best part is you look across the bridge, how many feet away? How many yards away across the bridge where the wives are watching under the umbrella?
Right across, 50 meters
away. It's absolutely wonderful. And Crazy Bar is the place where if you walk in also a lot of times because it's this like...
In the afternoon. In the morning it's more... There's women in there.
Yeah. It almost feels like the record is screeching. What is a girl doing in here? It's definitely... The old guys hang out.
Farmers.
Oldies. Not the old guys, but like the guys' place.
The older guys'
yeah.
place. Like, yeah. Then there's Café del Corso, and that's families. Everyone.
Yep.
That's, you know.
After church, before church, everyone's there. That's where a bunch of our packages get dropped off when they don't want to come to town. It's where they have the soccer game outside.
Yeah, they have a big screen TV they put up with tons of chairs. And then there's Trotabulo, which is connected to a gas station.
That's an interesting one.
That one is for more like the teenagers and younger guys who haven't graduated to Crazy Bar.
Yeah, it's a little hipstery.
No, hipstery.
Not hipster, but for Piobico. Like, you'll get more of the
it's
cool 40 kids.
And under. 40 yeah. and under guys and kids.
Yeah.
Like, teenagers, 20-somethings.
Then there's Il Cantuccio, which is the wine bar, which that's for more of the popular kids.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay.
And then we should mention the other gas station one with the humongous dog, because that one is the epic old-timer.
So then heading outside of town, there's a little on grocery the road to store slash bar slash tobacco that always has a fire going in their little area.
It could be
100. Seriously, it could be 30 degrees. 100
and
degrees.
You'll still find two old guys sitting next
There'll
to it.
Two old guys sitting next to this fire. And that's for the old guys. And that's for more a different – like there's a whole other section of Piobico that's kind of more towards the Apecchio side. And we're talking hundreds of meters.
That's what I was just going to say.
It's not like cross town. We're talking like these are literally separated by 400 – I want to say 400 meters. But you would never walk the 400 meters back towards Café del Corso if you live near the other
one. And let's just this last bar, we need to delve into it a little bit more for a second because it's very unique to the idea yet very common around Italy to find these places. It is
take a living room
thank you Frank.
Take a living room and then on one side of the living room is the fireplace
on the right.
Put one table and four or five, six chairs.
Mm-hmm.
At the back of the room is a spot to play your lottery,
yep.
and to get
stamps
and
things like that.
Pay your gas bill if you want. And at the front on the left is a bar slash tobacco shop.
Mm-hmm.
So cafe, DJ Stevie, aperitivi, and all that. The whole thing is the size of a normal.
like living room area, like totally like Jason said. I mean, this is roughly converted. Yes. I mean, if you go off to the left down a little corridor, literally is one of their living rooms.
Yeah, their personal space.
Yeah, one of their
to
personal
the right
space.
Connected to that is a
right
tiny,
by the fireplace.
Right by the fireplace. If you walk past the fireplace through a doorway, is a tiny grocery store.
Now, this grocery store is awesome. Because it's kind of, think of like a little New York bodega, like a little tiny hole in the wall. You don't know if some of the stuff has been there since 1956. Some stuff is new. Some stuff is, it is like, whoa, that is a collector's item. Now, it doesn't really, from the outside, you kind of sort of know there's a bit of a market when it's open. However, because it's attached to this cafe, it is like a secretly,
bar.
It's technically, in a way, always open.
Yes, if you, it's a Sunday night and you need
toilet paper and milk.
Yeah, you can knock on their door and say, "Hey, I need some toilet." And they'll it's indispensable. It's just, in that way, it's like, oh, I always know that, man. If I really messed up and I have to have something at 10 o'clock at night, I can knock on their door and apologize, and they'll get it.
And they might not have the bread, or the bread might be a bit old.
They might not have the brand you want, or yeah. It might be like twice as expensive. But hey.
And it's also the place that, upon first meeting my Uncle Sean, friendly guy, but yet knowing he's not even from Peobico, asked if he wanted to start a tab for buying like a bottle of Coca-Cola and like two things. It was so funny.
You can definitely run tabs.
Oh, anywhere in Peobico, really. Yeah. But I just love this place because you just wouldn't know it existed. You could drive past it and not realize how kind of quirky it is inside.
But we digress. We didn't even talk about what we mentioned all the bars for.
Oh, yeah, the games.
The games. So there is a list, and Ashley posted it on Instagram yesterday.
I'll post it with the article on our blog for this.
There's an advisory, and this is old. I think this came out. Like, it had yellowing paper on the paper was yellowing, and it lists all the games that are prohibited from being played at the bar. And we asked the barista if they really enforced it. Oh, yes, absolutely.
He was like, is this old? Is this a joke? Is this a... come una volta, like once upon a time? And she was like, oh no, that's legitimate. And
so I wonder if the Carabinieri walk by and are like, what game is that? What game are you
playing? Also, that's the bar the Carabinieri hang out at.
I know. It's just hysterical. It was really funny. It really made me laugh.
And just because it wasn't at Trota Blue, it was at the bar where all the oldies play their hot dice and their dominoes. So it was just very fitting to be at that bar.
So speaking about going to the bar, since we're at the bar, we learned a new type of coffee that you can make at home.
I love this. We talked about this on our online cooking class,
which we'll talk about next. Coffee. Everyone thinks that an Italian coffee is called espresso, and that's not true. You don't walk into a bar and order espresso.
You're like, quickly.
Espresso means a fast coffee. It's quick. Cafe espresso is what it's really called. And when you walk into a bar, you don't say, I'd like an espresso.
Do not say that. Just say un caffè.
There's many different kinds of coffee you can get in Italy. There's stretto, which is short. There's lungo. There's caffè macchiato, caffè cappuccino. There's caffè corretto. And then a new one that we learned just the other day that from our Italian tutor, and he talked about it's Caffè Universitario.
I love that. No, I thought it was Universitato.
Universitato? Uh-huh. Okay. Tell him, how do you make it?
No, go for it.
Well, you take the mocha, like your little biglietti mocha that you normally use, and you would make coffee normally. Then you pour that coffee into a cup. You unscrew the whole thing, and you're going to brew it again. But instead of using water, you pour the already brewed coffee back into the machine, new grounds, and brew it twice.
Super strong.
Super strong. And it's also called Caffè Quadrato.
Oh, yeah.
Four times the strength. And I haven't tried it yet.
I was just going to say.
Something tells me that is a gut buster.
Whew.
That would be...
Yeah, you need a little something, some toasting in there first. Oh, my
but,
gosh.
But maybe to stay up for the Super Bowl, maybe we'll make a Caffè Quadrato.
Ooh, good point, because it starts here at like 12:30.
Yeah, Ashley's all... Ashley's been hyping it up this week. Sunday is the... For all of you not listening, not in America, is the...
Or not caring.
Is the championship of the American Football Championship, and it's... The team from Seattle, who are the hometown team of Ashley.
And so, I'm a homer.
And it's a homer. So it doesn't start until 12:30 Central European time, which...
It means we have to plan.
Yeah. Yeah. So we might...
It's not like it ends at 12:30.
No.
It begins. So it's a 4-hour game at least, right?
Yeah, with the Super Bowl, with all the commercials and the long halftime. And you're saying, why don't you just wait and watch it the next day, Jason and Ashley?
No way. Because it's the second time in history for the Seattle Seahawks to go to the Super Bowl. And I'm not missing it, baby.
We're
flying our flag.
You can't. Because even if we wait till the next morning, as soon as you turn on the computer,
oh my God,
there's going to be emails and Facebooks and, like, you know, you turn on Internet Explorer or whatever, the page, and it goes right to the homepage of whatever, Google or Yahoo, and it's going to say who won the Super Bowl. So.
Oh, my gosh.
And
my
brother, I won't sleep anyway. So.
No. And my brother's going to New York to get to be part of everything, and oh, my God, it's going to be incredible. I'm so excited. Russell Wilson, go Hawks, beast mode, LOB. What else can I shout out?
So the Super Bowl is coming up, and you will be inundated with advertisements for McDonald's, Coca-Cola, all that kind of stuff, which is very interesting because there was just an article the other day about this very thing, these big, giant, multinational corporations invading and getting really doing a good job of getting a foothold in the door of the Italian market.
Yeah, Slate had a great article covering a story on a book called, let me see here, let me give the shout out of the title of the book, The Lost Art of Feeding Kids, What Italy Taught Me About Why Children Need Real Food. And really interesting observation in this article and something that we have personally noticed as well. But this article really goes into the subtle marketing towards children and indoctrinating essentially them into having Coca-Cola be part of their culture. And since we've arrived, we've noticed that McDonald's, Coca-Cola, fast food
has popped up.
Convenient food.
When we arrived out here, there was not a fast food place for 2 hours. Like Bologna. You had to go up to Bologna or like down to Ancona or something. Now there's Infano, Pesaro, and the lines are out. I mean, it's
devastating in a way. Well, because you just see you wonder what will happen to the future, and you...
Oh, it's coming.
It is. It's really
also
sad.
We've seen Coca-Cola start. You know, Coca-Cola is ubiquitous. You can find it in every country in every single world. But Coca-Cola was not a drink. You didn't drink it with dinner.
No, and that's what's really interesting in this article with Slate on Slate by this writer Janine Marshall that. Talking about her kids and eating in Italy, that you would normally children drink water with their meal. They're not looking like at our farmhouse, for example. We don't have any kids drinks. We only offer wine
or water
and we do have some local beer. But
oh, we have some juice if kids.
Yeah, I mean, and that's if the parents ask. But I'm never offering them juice. It's
or
water.
Coca-Cola, yeah.
And so this mother is saying how it was really interesting going to a pizzeria and having her young son, who's 6, be asked by the waiter if he wanted a Coca-Cola with his pizza. And normally you would, like Jason said, you wouldn't be eating and drinking Coke. It's like
it would be a treat.
Like, it's a treat or like getting a little snack kind of
thing. Yeah, instead of getting a gelato, like I would think of it in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, you would have a Coca-Cola because it's... If you weren't, excuse me, having an aperitivo because it's sugary and sweet and cold. And
but you would not have it with a meal.
No,
you're not
going
to sit down and have pasta with a Coca-Cola.
No, never.
No. And most of the time, pizza goes with beer. And we've seen many little families give little kids beer, like a little, like the colored water a bit with a beer too. So this mother was saying how after, this is the part that I thought was really interesting, that she went to the waiter after the meal and asked, why did you offer my son a Coca-Cola? And that to me showed what a difference the culture is here too, that a parent would go so far as to ask the waiter, why was there a special or something? Why are you trying to a special offer? Why are you trying to offer them this drink? And it's just happening. I mean, I don't know.
It's not the adults. It's the children.
Exactly. So they're starting to request it.
They're starting to request it. And kids are starting to get into the habit of drinking a Coke with a meal, which has never, ever, ever happened before. And you'll see things bundled with a Coke. Like,
that's exactly.
If you go to Auto Grill, like if you're on the road and you go to Auto Grill and you get a panino or a slice of pizza or something, now they will have slice of pizza, you know, a piece of fruit or something or a dessert and a Coke with it. Whereas when we arrived, there was always Coca-Cola there, of course, but never the promotion of buy the slice of pizza and for 50 cents more you get the Coke when it's €1 or €1.50 in the cold case or whatever. So it's very interesting. It's happening.
Well, and it just makes you nervous for the future and the culture and its cuisine. I mean, it was such a, I don't know, it seems so funny. People kind of don't understand because as Americans, you think, well, don't you know about how bad soda is for you? But because Italians have had such a diverse and rich diet that was very balanced for so long, you could have a bit more fat here and there, or it wasn't as a concern because you're drinking it in such a small amount.
Well, yeah, the serving size, when you get a can of Coke here in Italy, and even if you go to the fast food restaurants or like an auto grill or something, and you order a small soda, it's small.
Small.
If you order a large, it's what I would call a medium the biggest one they have is probably like a medium in the States. And the can size is smaller, I believe, too. But it doesn't matter. It's creeping its way in, and it's just interesting being a foreigner and having a different perspective and coming from a culture that we were just back in the States this winter, seeing how it's everywhere, and then coming here and seeing how it's not everywhere, but it has started to creep into daily life. Mm-hmm. That's all.
It's a bummer. Stay away from our Italians, Coca-Cola and McDonald's. God.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
What else is going on? Should we talk about our cooking classes?
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
All right. So our last class was awesome. I want to thank everyone who joined us. And we have kind of sort of the technology for recording the classes. So everyone who partook in that class, I just shot out the video last night. Our next online live cooking class from our farmhouse is February 16th, which is a great Valentine's Day gift, actually, Jason. Don't you think
when is Valentine's Day?
February 14th.
And we're doing it the 16th.
Yeah. So.
Oh, to give it as a Valentine's Day gift.
I'm trying to make some funny banter here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that is true, Ashley. Please, how so?
Pray tell. So we just thought this would be a really great little gift certificate or something for Valentine's Day gift, too. We're going to be doing rabbit and chicken in the style of the hunter. I think we talked about that. And braising in acido.
Using acid to braise and break down. And then we'll also be doing roasted potatoes. And there you say, well, roasted potatoes? Why would I take a cooking class to learn how to make roasted potatoes? I cannot say this enough. It's not about it's about the technique. Just because there's a technique to roasting, whether it's potatoes or vegetables or anything and we're doing potatoes for this one, but don't think of it as just the recipe. Think of it as taking away a technique that you can apply to anything else you're going to cook.
And take it as one of the number one things when people come out to like the countryside where you're getting the meat and potatoes in Italy, that people are like, how the hell do Italians make their potatoes so freaking delicious?
Really good.
Like that is something people will stop a meal and just go, what is going on here? Then our class after that is going to be February 23rd. We're going to be doing fennel two ways. Well,
fennel is something no one knows how to cook, use, or they pass it over because it's like, what do I do with that weird
and
thing?
And weirdly enough, in the past like 6 years, that's been the number one hit on our blog. Like off the charts, people searching and coming to our blog for what to do with fennel. So we thought this is great. So you're going to do fennel with blood oranges or citrus and braised fennel and white wine.
There you go.
We're also going to be doing pasta alla matriciana. Mm. We'll talk about these more in depth as we get closer too. And then after that is March 9th, and we're going to be doing stock or brodo. Yep. Well, really, do you want to say what brodo is?
Brodo, here in Italy, they do a combination of chicken and beef bones in their stock. It's called brodo, and it's the building block of everything. So we're going to take it all the way back to the very, like, the first block you put down, which is starting off with good stock.
And we're also going to be doing a frittata with spring onions and mussels in white wine. I am so excited for that lunch, personally.
So these three things, mussels, quick 5 minutes, mussels or clams, 5 minutes, really easy to do. Really easy to mess up, though, as well. Making a frittata, something so simple and also something that people really, I find most of my students don't know how to make an egg properly.
Well, or they're super fluffy and like
they're just too thick, or they're browned on the bottom and they're rubbery, blah, blah, blah. And a stock, if you can hook up an egg and you can hook up a good stock, you're learning to really cook correctly. Because think about it, just an omelet, a frittata. What do you make? What these things that I'm these recipes that I'm choosing? Which do you make more? The pesto crusted rack of lamb with the red wine reduction, or an egg?
An egg,
right? So if you bring someone a beautifully, perfectly cooked omelet on a Sunday morning, that's incredible.
Well, also, the way that you make this frittata, it takes it in, it really, this is going to sound cheesy because I'm not a food person like this. I mean, I still like Pop-Tarts, but it takes an omelet, as Jason says, but it elevates it into a really elegant dish the way he makes it, because it's so paper thin.
It's all about mouthfeel, like,
yes, I mean, so, and we'll get into it more.
We'll get into it more in the class, but take some beautiful spring, you know, the little new onions that are coming out in the beginning of March, either grill them or sweat them really quick, and a paper thin, beautifully cooked frittata with a little salad, and you've got yourself a lunch.
Mm-hmm. I think that in Italy, I've noticed, or in our area, or I'm not sure, I see egg dishes a lot more of like the boiled eggs, boiled eggs for the, or hard boiled eggs, whatever, like at the, for a antipasti at the Place in Fano, for example, with the wine bar, you'll see hard eggs with olive oil or the salsa verde. You'll see the frittata. You'll see eggs done. I don't know. I wonder, because I just feel like, do people, and I know maybe poached eggs have gotten super popular in the States on things, but do people really see frittatas that much and hard eggs?
I think it's because we're farmers here in the America.
So we have
everyone
them to use.
Has eggs.
That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, we try to get, we have, our chickens are pumping out eggs now. We can't even give them away. Everyone has, like, who do you give them? We're going over to so-and-so's house. It's like, let's bring eggs. Oh, they have chicken. So it's not a, it's almost getting kind of difficult to give our eggs away, because I can't eat, we can't keep up. We're getting eight a day. But,
well, anyway, if you want to sign up for our cooking classes, shoot me an, all you have to do to register is an email at info@letavalamarque.com. I'll spell it out at the end. And if you want to check out our website with all of the most up-to-date class schedule and menus, it's at livefromitalyonline.tumblr.com. Super easy. I also, while I have you guys and I'm plugging some stuff, I wanted to plug a few spring upcoming packages we have going on. We've got our Cooking with Wild Edibles and Bottling Wine the 24th to the 28th of April. That's €500 a person. And, we're doing a bunch of cooking classes, 2 half-day classes, bottling wine, 4 nights, guided, wild edibles walk. Really fun. Great way to start the spring. May, we've got this going on a couple times in May called Made in La Marque Doc. Wine and cheese tour, artisan meat market trip, craft beer tasting, and 3 cooking classes. This one is awesome. If you really want literally a taste of La Marque, this is when to come. Come in May. Come and do this package where we've got the wine, the beer, the pasta, the seafood, the from the mountains, from the land, from the garden. I love that package. That's in May. And I'll talk about other packages later. Also, Forage Slaughter Butcher, if you guys are thinking about October, it's starting to fill up already. I'm really excited. We're doing it 2 weeks this year because we had such an overwhelming response last year. So it will be the 28th of October to November 2nd and the 4th to the 9th of November. And that is a 5-night forage, slaughter, and butcher your meal program. Very much.
What does Zach call it? What does my brother call it?
Murder, death, kill.
Murder, death, kill.
That's the, if you are a fan of Michael Pollan's Omnivore's Dilemma,
this is
for you. This is totally for you. and you can find any of the details for that on our website, www.
Well, why don't you throw out the things and then we'll do the, we'll throw out all our information, bring it home. We'll do our shout out. We got one, and then we'll do the song and we'll get out of here.
All right. I don't want anyone to turn us off before you hear our song, but,
too late.
So thank you guys all for listening. You can find us at La Tavola Marque, LATAVOLAMARCHE. And you can find us at Facebook, Twitter, Vimeo, YouTube. Instagram now at Ashley Bartner, AshleyBartner. And follow us on Instagram because it doesn't get filtered like Facebook. And we're starting to post some fun, wacky videos.
We got one shout out this week, and that is much love and we miss you guys, Renato and family. They are in beautiful Boston area. Hopefully Renato's listening to us right now with his head stuck in the third stage of a high bypass turbofan engine. Sir, you have, if I could trade jobs with you, I would. Song of the week.
Song of the week. Hit it, Jay.
Mama, voglio anch'io la fidanzata.
Mama, anch'io voglio la fidanzata. That's my version of it. That's going to be really bad. And the artist? Sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
Natalino Otto.
All right, hit it.
All right, thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll come to you next week, and we really appreciate it. If you love what you hear, tell a friend. We'll spread the love. Let him know about what we're doing. And
comment and like us. It's, oh, yeah. It helps us tremendously, especially on iTunes.
Yeah, comment and leave a rating if you'd like on iTunes, because no one finds us without you guys participating, and it's all about these algorithms, which is a word I say, but I have really no idea what it means.
Right on.
All right, here is Natalino Otto. Grazie, ciao.
Ciao.
Mamma, non son più quel capriccioso ragazzino che sgridavi sempre per il suo fare birichino. Oh mamma mi ci vuol la fidanzata, mamma mi ci vuol la fidanzata. Io vorrei quella cosa tanto cara, deliziosa, che fa il cuore sospiroso, che fa il cuore palpitare. È una cosa, sai che cosa? Di notte misteriosa fa il mio cuore sospiroso, fa il mio cuore trepidare di passione. Mamma, non so più quel capriccioso ragazzino che sgridavi sempre per suo fare birichino. Ora son cresciuto e sento un fremito nel cuore che, oh mamma, è il segnale dell'amore. È una nuova fiamma, un delizioso sentimento che mi brucia ancora come un languido tormento. È una dolce fiamma che a morire è destinata se, oh mamma, non avrò la fidanzata. Fate dai capelli d'oro, no, non posso più sognare, sogno tremuli bacin d'amore. Mamma, voglio anch'io una pupetta per baciare, che non faccia come quella in sogno sospirare, che mi stringa forte sul suo cuore innamorata, sì, oh mamma mi ci vuol la fidanzata. Segnale dell'amore, nuova fiamma, dolce sentimento, che tormento. Oh mamma mi ci vuol la fidanzata, fate dai capelli d'oro, no, non posso più sognare, sogno tremuli bacin d'amore. Mamma, voglio anch'io una pupetta per baciare, che non faccia come quelle sogno sospirare, forte sul suo cuore innamorata, sì, oh mamma mi ci vuol la fidanzata, oh mamma mi ci vuol la fidanzata, oh mamma mi ci vuol la fidanzata.